Tonight, we are back in our series of Where We Stand, speaking the truth in love about various social issues that we have dealt with. We've dealt with a number of them this past, about 6 weeks. And tonight, we are going to be talking about where we stand, or speaking the truth in love, about entertainment. Philippians chapter 4 is perhaps the best text that I could find to give us a framework from within which to talk for a few moments about entertainment. And before I read that, I want to be clear on what we're after tonight. Clear on what it is that we're, what is the point? What is the purpose of tonight's discussion? The goal for tonight is to get us to rethink entertainment. It is not my goal tonight to put us in a box, put you in a condemnation box, or to box us in when it comes to entertainment and entertainment choices and those sorts of things. It is rather my goal that we can rediscover what God intended with entertainment, and to rethink the way we use entertainment, the way we interact with entertainment, rethink the impact that entertainment has on our lives, so that we can, again, we can embrace and rediscover and fully walk in the blessings and the freshness that God meant it to be. God meant for entertainment to be a refreshing blessing in our life, and yet I think in many ways it has become something else. So having said that as our purpose, let's talk for a few moments. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is the best scripture, I think, that gives us a framework. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that just eliminates almost all the entertainment choices that we have. And I would disagree. I want us to talk about that for a few moments. When I Googled the word entertainment, I got back 1.2 billion, that's with a B, 1.2 billion hits when I searched the word entertainment. That, for me, is the most hits I've ever gotten on a single word. It is pervasive through our society. So let's talk about it a little bit. Let's talk about entertainment and the purpose of it and where it finds. And here's what's interesting. As I have surveyed through the word and read through the word about entertainment, there are some principles about entertainment that are interesting that date back to biblical times. So when we think entertainment, most of the time we think modern history. We think modern era because, I mean, how could there have been entertainment? And yet, entertainment dates all the way back. The thing is, in biblical times, there were four characteristics that were attached to entertainment. And I think they give us an insight into what God meant entertainment to be in our lives. And so I want to just talk about those for just a few moments. The purpose of entertainment. One thing that you find as you survey the occasion of entertainment in the Bible, one thing that you find, entertainment was always a recognition of life. In other words, entertainment was meant to recognize life, to recognize family. It was meant to recognize a special occasion or recognize an accomplishment. In other words, entertainment was never an occasion in and of itself. It had a greater purpose associated with it. When in biblical times, and in fact, historically, entertainment had a greater purpose, a greater reason, a greater function that it accomplished. It wasn't entertainment for entertainment's sake. I would submit to you that much of entertainment today does not have that facet. Much of entertainment today is entertainment for entertainment's sake, and that is an idea that is foreign to the Bible. And I'll come back to that in a few moments because I think that's significant when it comes to the way that we view entertainment. One such occasion of entertainment as a recognition of life, one such occasion is found in Luke chapter 5. Let me just read the story to you real quickly. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. And the scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and the sinners?" And Jesus answered and says, "Those who are well need no physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." This illustrates an occasion where there was this great feast, and what they were recognizing was Jesus' presence in the house. In other words, Levi said, "Hey, Jesus has come to my house. This is an occasion to entertain. This is an occasion to put it on. And by the way, I will say one thing. As I look all the way through the Bible, one thing I think we got right about that we have right about entertainment today that I find in the Bible is there's always food associated with it. And I say amen. I mean, that goes with entertainment. I think we've got that right. But this occasion was a feast. It was a celebratory occasion because Jesus was there. In fact, it's interesting, as you walk through the Bible, you can find that the Bible talks about entertainment for marriages, entertainment for birthdays, entertainment for children growing up, you know, and getting out of the house, and you celebrate. There's an occasion there. Entertainment when friends take leave and go move, when God promotes them to another place. Entertainment when friends return. Entertainment for ratifying covenants. Entertainment in association with the harvest. Entertainment in association with coronations. In association with sacrifices, festivals, deliverance. There was even entertainment associated with sheep shearing. And so what's the point? The point is entertainment is not foreign to the Bible. It's not a foreign concept. Christianity and the Bible and entertainment aren't separate. They go closely together. It's just that it was a recognition of life. Now keep that in mind as we walk through, and I want to come back to that in a moment. Another thing that I found as I surveyed entertainment in the Bible was entertainment was always an involvement in life. In other words, entertainment was always interactive. It was never reclusive, never secluded. Entertainment pulled relationships together. It pulled families together. It pulled communities or tribes together. It pulled people together. Entertainment was always an involvement in life. In other words, the entertainment itself was part of life. It was part of family, part of community, part of being part of a particular association, and it pulled it together. And it was, as an involvement in life, entertainment was participatory in nature. In other words, it called people to participate and to interact with one another. In other words, entertainment built community, whether at the family level or the neighborhood level or the national level. Entertainment has this quality about it where it was a recognition of life and it was an involvement in life. Third thing about entertainment that we find, and this is kind of a strange concept. In fact, when I come back to it in a minute, it's just difficult to explain, but let me mention it here. Entertainment in the Bible, I found, always had an element of thanksgiving for life. In other words, thanksgiving was central to entertainment. Entertainment for entertainment's sake was foreign to the Bible. Entertainment was engaged in because God had blessed somebody, because God had poured a blessing on someone, or because God had delivered someone from a battle, or God had brought a great victory. And so entertainment and festivals were participated in. There was this element of thanksgiving to it. There was this element of being thankful because God has blessed in life in some way, because God has brought some blessing. In other words, there was this function of thanksgiving that was always associated with entertainment. There was this festive quality that showed gratitude toward God and toward others. That was part of the whole idea of entertainment. And then a fourth thing that I found when I walked through, and we talked about it through the Bible, is entertainment was a celebration of life. You see, when you think about all those other things, when you think about entertainment as a recognition of life, entertainment as involvement in life, entertainment as thanksgiving in life, what the culmination of all of that is that entertainment in biblical times, entertainment was a celebration of life. Entertainment as embraced by the Bible was a celebration of life. It recognized life. It involved relationships that made up life. It was in thanksgiving for the blessings of life. The purpose of entertainment was the celebration of life. Entertainment was not life. It was a celebration of life. That's a distinction. That's a clear distinction. Entertainment itself did not have a life in and of itself, but it was a celebration of a greater life, a real life that God had blessed and God had moved on. So that is the scope of entertainment from a biblical perspective. It was recognition of life, involvement in life, thanksgiving for life, and celebration over life. Well, now let's put that on hold for just a moment, and let's talk for just a second about the state of entertainment today. Let's contrast the two just a moment. We've talked about what entertainment was in biblical times. Let's contrast it for just a moment. Let me give you some interesting facts and some statistics that I have found about entertainment. From the New York Times, quote, "The average American spends more on entertainment than on gasoline, household furnishings, clothing, and dining out every year." Wow. More on entertainment than gasoline, household furnishings, clothing, and eating out in a year. Another report indicates that Americans spend, are you ready? Between $200 and $300 billion a year on entertainment. With a B, billion dollars a year. Just to give you some scope, that's three times the amount we spend on education nationally a year. Wow. Let's just hone in on America's number one resource for entertainment. How many of you know what it is? TV. Gotta be TV. Gotta be TV. Here we go. By the time a child finishes elementary school, they have seen 8,000 murders on TV. 8,000. By the time a child graduates elementary school, they've seen 8,000 murders on TV. By the time they're 18, they've seen 200,000 violent acts on TV. Really? That's entertainment? Really? How about this? This is from Robert Kuby, who is a psychiatrist with the TV-Free America Board. He is a Rutgers psychologist. And here's what he says. Millions of Americans, I'm quoting now from this psychologist, millions of Americans are so hooked on television that they fit the criteria for substance abuse as defined in the official psychiatric manual. Really? Wow, here's what he goes on to say. He said, heavy TV viewers exhibit 5 dependency symptoms, and only 2 are necessary to be clinically diagnosed as addictive behavior. Here are the parameters. These include using TV as a sedative. Now I know what you're doing right now. You're evaluating yourself, aren't you? Using TV as a sedative. Number 2, indiscriminate viewing. In other words, it's just on. And you just watch, you know, whatever comes, it's just on. It's just on. A feeling of loss of control while viewing. Feeling angry with oneself for viewing too much. An inability to stop watching, or feeling miserable when kept watching. I wouldn't dare ask how many of us have 2 of those. Wow. Millions of Americans are actually clinically diagnosed as dependent upon television. That raises some questions, doesn't it? At least it does for me. If that's the case with entertainment, in other words, and remember now, that is just TV. I send it on TV because it's the main source. That doesn't even include any. That's just TV. Doesn't that make us stop and I mean, shouldn't we reevaluate? That's what the purpose is, to rethink entertainment. I mean, think about that. If that's the state of entertainment today, and we know what the state of entertainment was according to the Bible, then doesn't it make you wonder, has entertainment become a recognition of life or an escape from life? I think entertainment has become an escape from life rather than a recognition of life. See, here's what David Henderson, who, by the way, is one of the most renowned culture experts that there is, and here's what he says. He says, entertainment is challenging because it keeps us from thinking. Wow. It keeps us from thinking. Our spectator society, with its incessant need for entertainment, was birthed out of a desperate need for distraction, end quote. In other words, this entertainment is not a recognition of life. It has become, to the American society, an escape from life. I need to be distracted from the bad day I've had, or the problems I'm having with my spouse, or the trouble that my children are causing, or the financial difficulties that I have. It has become not a recognition of life and life lived to the fullest, but rather an escape. Entertainment has become therapy rather than a recognition and a celebration of life. I mean, if the statistics that we read a few moments ago are so, then indeed that is so. Recognition, is it recognition or is it escape? It brings a second question to mind of that. Is entertainment involvement or is it seclusion? Much of entertainment today, especially entertainment that involves the screen. When I mean that, I mean TV, movies, internet. Entertainment that involves the screen largely secludes us from others rather than involving us with others. If you want to test that theory, wait to the middle of the next good movie that your spouse is watching and into, and then turn it off and try to talk to them. Don't even turn it off. Just try to talk to them. My wife's primary love language is quality time, and I learned a long time ago, watching TV together is not quality time. Doesn't even count at all. Why? Because you're not involved with each other at all. Entertainment largely secludes us from others. In fact, listen to what Henderson says here. Television has become like a crowded subway. There's no room for reflecting. There's no place to stand and consider another perspective. There's no pocket of space for critical thinking about what's been seen and heard. It just bombards us with more and more and more and more and more entertainment. The point is that we become engaged in entertainment to the point that we slowly disengage from life rather than tackling life. Rather than ask a hard question, we turn on the tube. Rather than deal with the relationship, we watch a fantasy. Rather than create solutions, we watch others' problems. Rather than resolve, we dissolve into a make-believe world. Wow. Entertainment has become less involvement and more seclusion in the society that we live in today. What about the next thing? What about this? What about Thanksgiving? Entertainment as it is today, is it Thanksgiving or is it appeasement? And when I use the word appeasement, you could substitute the word there, comfort. In other words, because much of entertainment has become an escape and an exclusion from life, we become more and more disconnected with our lives. Once entertainment was a method for Thanksgiving, for something wonderful in life, but now it has become so disconnected that its only purpose is to amuse us. In other words, it's lost its value as a means of Thanksgiving. Henderson again says this, there isn't much you can do with information that has no context to your life except to entertain. The only use for information that has no connection to the life I live is just to amuse me. And as a result, it loses its value, which is to be a means of Thanksgiving for the life that I have and the life that I live. Wow. Now, we can argue about this all day long, but I don't think we can debunk these. That's where it has become. And then the last thing is this celebration. Is it celebration or is it substitution? Wow. The reality should make us evaluate entertainment and the way we use it, and the way we employ it, the way we enjoy it. Is it truly a celebration of life or has it become a substitution for real life where we are just entertained our way through life? So here we have those two paradigms, if you will, one from the Bible, which makes entertainment a recognition of life and an involvement in life and a thanksgiving for life and celebration for life. And yet we have much of American society today that uses entertainment as an escape, as a seclusion, as an appeasement, as a substitution for real life. So the question is, how do we reconcile those two? What do we do with those two? And in order to reconcile those two, I think there are two things that we have to address as Christians. One is what I'm going to call some hard considerations about entertainment, and the other is a proper perspective on entertainment. And so let me just kind of present some things here, because here's what I think. I think in order to regain the purpose for which God created entertainment in our lives, we have to be willing to grapple with some of the hard questions about entertainment and about what we allow to entertain us. Because you understand, with entertainment, we allow that. That is above and beyond living in society. We allow that. We invite that in one form or another into our lives. So here's some things that I think are hard considerations for Christians. And I'm just going to walk through them. Some things that I think Christians... Now, the world may not have to think about this when it comes to entertainment. But Christians must. Christians must think about this when it comes to entertainment. Let me give you a few of some hard considerations. One is, has to do with the idea of perspective. The idea of perspective. Here's a bold statement by Henderson again. I think he's absolutely correct about this. Television, radio, and the internet have replaced the Bible as a source of perspective on life. Wow. It has. We get our perspective on life from Fox News. We get our perspective from life from Everybody Loves Raymond. We get our perspective on life from the latest movie that is out, rather than our perspective on life from the Bible. Now you can argue, we can fight about this all we want to, but this it's a problem. Here's the reason. The problem is we orient ourselves according to our world perspective. And if our world perspective is defined by entertainment, that's where we will orient ourselves. But if our world perspective is defined by the Word of God, we will orient ourselves to the Word of God. It is a crucial issue. The world may not have to worry about this, but you and I do. Why? Because God has chosen us to be a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, who has called us, what? Out of the darkness into His glorious light. We must consider this. See, we must understand that the framework for the reference, that our framework of reference for life is shaped by what we allow to entertain us. We can deny this to our own peril, but what you watch shapes who you are, how you think, and what you believe. If you don't believe this, turn to Mark 6, verse 22. Real quick, turn to Mark 6, 22. Because I can prove that statement from the Word. What you watch shapes who you are, how you think, and what you believe. That's a bold statement, Pastor. Matthew 6, 22 and 23 says this. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. Right? But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is dark, how great is that darkness? Wow. That puts it right where we live, doesn't it? Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Let me read that last part again. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Wow. You know what that says? It says what we allow to entertain us shapes us, forms us, molds us, it makes us. Therefore, we must evaluate perspective when it comes to entertainment. How about this? When it comes to, again, some hard considerations. How about our resources? How about our resources? Think about this. Before the year 2000, the typical increase in how much America spent on entertainment each year was 5%. In other words, 5% each year was the typical increase prior to 2000. In 2005, that increased to 38%. In 2006, the increase was 48%. America spends a hugely disproportionate percentage of our income on entertainment. As a Christian, shouldn't we ask, well, is that how God would have me use my resources? I mean, shouldn't we ask, is how much of what God gave me should I spend to entertain myself? Or should we just indiscriminately spend on entertainment? Now again, the world doesn't have to evaluate that, but we must evaluate there, because God's called us to be a different people. And so the use of our resources when it comes to entertainment is a crucial issue. I'm not saying you should not spend to entertain. Again, especially when it is biblical entertainment, I am saying when it becomes a huge part of our resources and of our outflow, then we really ought to ask, well, is that how God would have me spend this? Because this I do know. We will give an account one day for that which God has put into our hands and our care and how we used it and how we spent it. How about this? How about time? According to the Nelson Company, this is another one of those statistics that's just funny. It's so outrageous. According to the Nielsen Company, and the Nielsen Company are the ones who do the Nielsen ratings. Everybody's read about the Nielsen TV ratings. The average American in 2006 spent, I'm sorry, in 2007 spent 4 hours a day watching TV. The average American, 4 hours a day watching TV. That is the equivalent of 9 years of an adult's life spent watching TV. Really? Don't you think? I mean, if we're going to spend 9 years doing something, shouldn't we rethink it? Really? I mean, you can get a BA, a master's, and a doctorate in 9 years. Are you kidding me? And yet 9 years are spent watching TV. What's the point? The point goes back to the message I spoke about 3 weeks ago. As Christians, we must ask, what is this time for? We must think in regards of Kairos time, that is, time that is purpose-filled and not just spend time indiscriminately. That there is a purpose. Clearly, God sanctions entertainment, but not as a consuming force in our lives, rather as a refreshing force in our lives. And if entertainment consumes us, where we spend, 9 years of our life being entertained, then something is out of balance. Does it really matter? Well, Ephesians 5 says this, says, walk wisely, not as fools, redeeming the time, because the days you live in are evil. Wow, yeah, it does matter. It absolutely does matter. How about this? Talk about hard considerations. How about this? How about morality? Here's a question for you. Is it wrong to watch immorality? And we could define immorality, but I think as a community here, we have some idea what immorality is. Is it wrong to watch immorality? After all, it's just entertainment. I mean, it's just, right? I mean, it's just entertainment. It's not real. It's just entertainment. It's just a movie. It's just a show. Oh, it's not real. That doesn't really happen. It's just a script that somebody wrote. Well, really? Romans 1:28 puts it this way. And this is about three or four scriptures, but it's crucial. It's crucial to the point I'm making. Furthermore, Paul says, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malice. They are gossips. Wow. That's an interesting place to find gossips, isn't it? We need to talk about that sometime. Slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. Wow. Does that not identify our society? They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree, they are those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Here's the question this verse raises. If we are entertained by sin, are we not approving it? And if we are approving it, according to this scripture, we are as guilty of it as the people who are doing it. Wow. Wow. Listen to me, I'll put it plain. If you are entertained by sin, the Bible says you are guilty of the sin because you're entertained by it. Wow. That's tough. Now again, the world may not have to think about that, but you and I as Christians, we absolutely must. Paul said, abhor, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good. Morality. We've got to think about that when it comes to our entertainment choices. What about this? What about modesty? Modesty matters when it comes to entertainment. Josh McDowell put it this way. He said, TV today for the Christian is not a passive activity. It must be done with a sensitive spirit, a clear mind, and the remote in your hand. Do you turn off the TV? Now let's just get real. Do you turn the channel? Do you turn it off? I hear people just railing against TV and movies and shows and oh, how horrible and how terrible. And I was like, does your remote control not have an off button? Does it not have a button that changes the channel? Because a modesty does matter. Job put it this way. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look lustfully upon a woman. Wow. So modesty does matter. It absolutely does matter. And by the way, that was from a man's perspective. Can I swap it around there? If Job has made a covenant with his eyes that he will not look lustfully upon a woman, then a woman should not dress in a way that invites him to look lustfully upon her. Amen? Amen. I love Suzanne, Ron and Suzanne Cox. In fact, they preached at Evangel years ago. They were very dear friends of Pastor Kent. I saw a Facebook post the other day. It's so appropriate. She said, it was the day before Valentine's Day, and she said, ladies, I commend you for wearing that short, sexy miniskirt at home for your husband, but do not wear it to church for mine. Come on now, right? Modesty matters when it comes to entertainment. It absolutely does matter. And then this, well, there's that. Holiness. Holiness. It does matter. The best way to, Pastor, how does holiness apply when it comes to entertainment? The best application that I've ever heard was Dr. Michael Brown, who was part of the Brownsville Revival movement during those years, and he put it this way. If you would not allow an individual to come into your living room and do on your living room rug what you are watching on your screen, then why, by virtue of your TV, will you allow them to enter your heart, which is the Holy Spirit's living room, and do it there? Wow. Wow. Well, they probably won't anybody be buying these CDs. what are we talking about, Pastor? We're talking about being different. And it impacts our entertainment. It impacts the way that we are entertained. You see, if we are going to rediscover and recapture the God-given purpose for entertainment in our lives, we are going to have to be willing to wrestle with some of the tough questions. Rather than mindlessly allowing ourselves to be entertained by whatever the world deems. Amen? So, the second part, the first part was the hard questions, the hard considerations. The second part is this. It is embracing proper perspectives. And I just want to walk through this, and I'm getting toward the end here where we can have some discussion here in a few moments. Embracing proper perspectives. I want to go back to what we said at the very beginning. I want us to think about this a moment. In other words, as Christians, if everything we've said up to this point is true, and I believe it is, I believe the Word will uphold everything that I have told you to this point, then we must, as Christians, embrace a proper perspective when it comes to entertainment. Now, what does that look like? Well, let me just hit the four points that we discovered in the Word earlier. One is entertainment that recognizes life. See, entertainment, rather than entertainment being an escape from life, entertainment must be an embrace of life, a recognition of life. For example, a job well done may call for some entertainment, but not entertainment to avoid a difficult job. Wow. That's two different things, isn't it? Taking in a good movie that embraces marriage may be a good activity for a husband and wife, but not as a means to keep from discussing a difficult marital issue. I don't want to talk about that right now. I'm watching TV. So-and-so's on. No, we'll talk about it later, and then the next night it's a different show and a different... You understand what I'm saying? We must embrace this proper perspective where entertainment recognizes life and is not an escape from life. Another thing is this, is entertainment that involves. Choose entertainment that involves you in relationships with others. Play ball with your son. Eat an ice cream cone with your neighbors. Play the Wii with your spouse. Play phase 10 with your family. Take your wife fishing. Amen, Woody? No, what's the point of that? The point is, choose entertainment that involves, that strengthens marriages or strengthens families. You know, get out in the backyard and throw the ball. Take your son to the golf course or skeet shooting, or you understand what I'm saying? Choose entertainment that involves you in your relationships. If we're going to truly get all that God has for us out of entertainment, we've got to embrace that perspective on entertainment. Entertainment that recognizes life, entertainment that involves. Now this one, I'm just going to tell you, I'll put it up here. This is the most difficult one of all to explain, but I'm going to take a shot of it. Entertainment that shows gratitude. That shows gratitude. It's difficult to explain, but you've got to remember, biblically, entertainment is attached to thanksgiving for God's blessing on our lives. And as a result, it is entertainment that is thankful for what God has given or how he has blessed or answered a prayer in a relationship, rather than entertainment for entertainment's sake. It's the difference between saying, I'm going to watch a movie tonight because it's been a horrible day and I deserve it. It's the difference between that versus saying, Lord, even though it's been a tough day today, I'm thankful for the job. Thank you for protecting me from the office gossips. Thank you for a little bit of rest here where I can sit and I can enjoy this movie. Do you understand? That's a difficult concept. It's a subtle thing, but it's an important thing. Because the first one suggests that the movie is the answer to life. The second one acknowledges that God is the answer to life. Wow. It's subtle, but it's crucial because it makes all the difference in the world in our lives. And then the fourth thing is this: entertainment that celebrates life. Entertainment that serves rather than enslaves. It celebrates. That's entertainment that has a proper time, a proper place, a proper perspective, a proper purpose, a proper amount. It's entertainment that truly celebrates life. That's entertainment that we can recapture, that we can embrace, and that we can rediscover. So then, what do we do with that then? Because all of these messages that I've been bringing, we've come to this point and said, all right, now that we've seen what it should be and we've seen what it is, and we've seen how we can reconcile those two together, what do we do with this? How do we speak the truth in love when it comes to entertainment? And I want to suggest to you three things, like I have been doing all along, three things that I think goes to speaking the truth in love about entertainment. One of them is this, is that in order to speak the truth in love, one is to model a proper perspective on entertainment. Model it. In other words, you cannot say one thing and do something else. We must live this, walk in the blessings of it, and others will take notice. Listen, I'll guarantee you, the world will take notice of someone who is not consumed with entertainment, because the world is. The world will take notice of someone that has entertainment in its proper perspective and squeezes all the life and the gusto out of it. I love to laugh. I love Andy Griffith and Dick Van Dyke. Okay, that's my confession. And I love to laugh. And that stuff is hilarious. Barney Fife, my hero. So you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying not to be entertained. I'm saying, listen, get the good out of it. Squeeze it for all that it's supposed to be and model that perspective on entertainment. The second thing, when we're speaking the truth in love, now this, again, has to do with our own lives and how we relate to others. One thing is to model it. Then the second thing is emphasize the original, I put in parentheses, biblical intent of entertainment. Point out how the Bible deals with entertainment. You know what most of the world thinks? Most of the world thinks the Bible teaches them to be dull and boring. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible teaches celebrate, throw a party, have a festival. In fact, I don't think we as Christians party nearly enough. I think we as Christians should party a whole lot more. Why? Because God's done a whole lot more for us than the world has ever done for them. We should party more. But we should emphasize what the Bible says about entertainment and how to view it. Talk about the differences that we've discussed here tonight. Listen. And when you exhibit it in your own life, then your words will carry much more weight, right? Your words will carry much, much more weight. And then the final thing is this, and this is crucial. Present Christ as the answer to life. Understanding, watch this, understanding that many people have turned to entertainment as a way to handle life and escape from life. Talk with people about Jesus truly being the answer to life. It's a many of a depressed mom raising children by herself that goes home at night and just turns on the TV just so there'll be some noise in the house to escape that hole that they have inside. It's a many teenager that runs to their rooms and turns their TV on and closes the door behind them and turns on MTV just to escape that hole that they have inside. It's a many an older person that indiscriminately just turns on whatever's on and lets it run just to feel that loneliness they have inside. And you know what? Entertainment will never fill it. It'll never fill that hole. That hole is designed and shaped for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can talk to people. Look, there is an answer. And the answer is far more meaningful than anything you can see, turn on, watch, tune into. It's Jesus Christ. He gave his all for you. He gave his all for you. Listen for clues. Listen for clues such as, I wasted the whole evening last night watching TV. Oh, yeah, really? Why did you spend so much time wasting TV? Were you lonely? Oh, if you were lonely, I can tell you about somebody that'll be your friend who'll stick closer than a brother. Were you angry? Were you just trying to deal with life's answers? Listen, I can tell you about the answer, the real answer. His name's Jesus Christ. Were you that consumed by it? Let me tell you about something that will consume you and not eat you up like entertainment does, but will refresh and will renew you. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Church, we have to have a proper perspective on entertainment because God has called us to live as a people called to himself and his very own.